And we thank God that you're back with us this morning. If you have your Bibles, like you turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And as we look to Mark chapter 1, we'll stand to our feet this morning. And as we read the Word of God in honor of God's Word. And I know that if you probably the first time that you come to our church, you say, man, y'all sure stand a lot. We do stand a lot, amen, and there's worth standing. I believe we ought to stand when we sing the songs of Zion. I believe we ought to stand when we read the Word of God. We ought to stand to pray, amen. And so it's honor and giving Him glory this morning. In Mark chapter 1, and let's begin reading in verse 12 and 13. We want to continue the series that we've been preaching, Walk as He Walked. And so we find verse 12, and immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Father, I come to the name of Jesus this morning. We thank you for the reading of God's Word. Thank you for the songs that have been sung. Thank you for the Sunday school that was given. Thank you, Father, for the presence of all that are here this morning. We ask you now to anoint me and fill me with your Spirit. I pray, Father, that you'd give me the help that I need to preach the pure Word of God. Father, may the glorious gospel, dear God, go forth in the midst of darkness. God, enlighten the heart of men. Father, we ask you now, Lord, to lead and guide this service. You'll guard my lips and my mind. Father, you'll be magnified and glorified in all that's said and done, that we may preach with power and authority, yet in love and compassion. And Father, may your truth go forth and to make many free. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, some days ago, we preached the message at the beginning of this series, at Walk as He Walked, and I preached it out of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. I'll read it to you just because that's our theme or our starting point. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Let me read that again because that's the starting place. That's the beginning of this, of the series of walking as He walked. It says, as you have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him. This morning, if you are by way of testimony and by the way of giving the truth, I'm saved, I'm born again. The only reason you could be that away is because receiving of Christ the Lord. Amen. And while receiving Christ the Lord, now you have a command on your life. You have a demand in your life. And that is, so walk ye in Him. You don't get saved and walk like you want to. You don't get born again and live like a devil. You don't get the Spirit of God indwelling in your life and live without it. Live as if you've never heard of it. You don't receive Christ the Word and then never go back to the Word. That's not how it works this morning. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, it tells us some sort of the same. It says, he that saith, he abideth in Him. If you say the Lord Jesus abides in you, if you say that Christ Jesus lives in you, if you say this morning that God dwells in you, then this will take place. He says, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. And so this morning, our salvation will be walked. Amen? Not talked, but walked. And so we began to go through Mark. We started on Wednesday night, and the first thing that I noticed in Mark chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 1, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so we find the beginning. If we're ever going to walk the Christian life, if we're ever going to walk like Christ walked, we're going to have to know how He walked. Amen? We're going to have to know what He did. We're going to have to know how He acted. We're going to have to know how He responded and how He reacted. If we're ever going to be in the place where we can walk as He walked, then we're going to have to know more about Him. Amen? And we learn more about Him tonight. We'll learn more about Him Wednesday night. and we'll learn more about Him next Sunday morning and on and so forth. It's all about Jesus this morning. It's not about me. It's not about you. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you come and visit with us. And we're glad that you stopped by and chose. There's thousands of churches you could have went to this morning. And you chose this church. Thank you for that. May the Lord bless you. We love you, but it's not about you. Amen. It's about the Lord this morning. It's about Him. It's about us walking as He walked. I noticed the first thing that took place in the life of Jesus there in our chapter, in our verse. He says in verse 8, I indeed have baptized you with water, but He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. That's the very first thing that Jesus did in His ministry. It tells us in Numbers chapter 4 in verses 3 and 35 and verse 47 that as a priest you would begin your ministry about the age of 30. And if you go to Luke, don't turn there, but Luke chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says concerning Jesus that His ministry began about 30 years old. And so we find that Jesus being the priest, the king, and the prophet of this morning, that He began with baptism. Now we preached on Wednesday night baptism. We're not going to preach on that this morning again. But we can tell you for a fact that Jesus Christ did not have to be baptized to be saved. He's the Savior, amen? We tell you this morning that He was not sprinkled. He was immersed. The Bible says that He came out of the water. 100% of Him was submersed and immersed. That's what the word baptism would mean. I can tell you a third thing. He wasn't an infant. Whenever He got baptized, He was about the age of 30. Amen? And so we find why did Jesus get baptized quickly? There's many reasons. If you want to know about it, you're going to have to go back to Wednesday night at the message in order to learn that. You say, well, there's nobody here to record that. And that's what this is new for me. And sometimes I think something's following my mouth. And as I look down and see it, so sometimes it's in my way, sometimes it's not. Don't let it get in your way. But you're going to have to go back to Wednesday night. There was nobody here to record that, so you lost it forever. Amen? But to say this, two reasons about baptism, we'll move forward, because that's the first thing that Jesus did with His ministry, is that He identified Himself with sinners when Jesus was baptized. And when you get baptized, you identify yourself with the Savior. Amen? It's a picture. It's symbolic in the way of the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord. Amen? Jesus showed forth at the time of His baptism to fulfill all righteousness. Amen? And the only way you and I can enter into heaven is if we have the righteousness of God. And the only way to get the righteousness of God is that Jesus Christ became sin who knew no sin. Amen? That you and I can have the righteousness of God by repenting and receiving Christ this morning. We take on the righteousness of God. We die in Christ. We're buried in Christ. We resurrect in Christ in the newness of life. And so a baptism is the very first step of every Christian that's ever been born again. Amen? That's the step of obedience. It's not to save you. You already saved. It's not to get you right with God. You already right with God. It's not to get you smarter and larger. It's just to get you on the direction of ministry. Amen? And the life and the walk with God. Jesus' first thing in the way of His ministry was He was baptized. If you're not baptized this morning, it just might be because you've never been saved. Amen? If you've not been baptized this morning, then you're just not ready to serve God. You're just not ready to move forward in your Christian life and Christian walk. And so we preach that on Wednesday night. This morning I want to preach on concerning this thought, walk as He walked. I notice the testimony of Jesus. And that's going to be your second thing concerning the walking with Jesus, or walking as He walked, is Jesus had a testimony, and so do you. Amen? Before you got saved, you had a reputation. Before you got saved, you had a testimony. before you got saved, people said things about you. They knew things about you. They would tell others about you in their mind, in their heart. They already got an opinion of who you were. And I wonder how they got all that to come true. I tell you how, it's the way you lived. Amen. How you lived and how you reacted and how you responded. People looked at you and that was your testimony. But friend, the same thing works with Christianity this morning. Whenever you began your life with God by the way of grace and salvation of Jesus Christ this morning, and then you come to the big first step of obedience is baptism, and then you begin your life of testimony. Amen. I notice the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three things took place. Verse 10, it tells us that the Spirit of God descended upon him. It tells us that very clearly there in the verses. It says, and in those days it came to pass that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the water. And it goes on to say, verse 10, straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And friend, that's exactly what took place in the testimony of Christ. That Spirit of God was descending upon him. The Bible tells us in John that John the Baptist didn't even know who Jesus was. And the Father who sent him said, if we will be the one that the Holy Ghost of God will descend upon him, that's him. And John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And then he said once again, he said, because of the descending Holy Ghost of God that came on Jesus Christ, that he is truly the Son of God. You know it's going to make you truly the Son of God. You know it's going to make you who know that Lamb of God, that Lamb of God that was slain and sacrificed on your behalf, that the blood of God that was shed across on the Calvary was the indwelling Spirit of God. The Bible says that my Spirit shall bear witness with His Spirit that I am the child of God. If there's any other reason this morning that you think you're the child of God, it's the wrong reason. The only reason that you can count on this morning that you are the child of God is that the Spirit of God indwells in your heart and He bears witness with yours that you're the child of God. Listen, you can run this country. You can read your Bible. You can go to church. You can get baptized until you become a tadpole. Friend, you can give all your money to missions. You can do all you can for the church. You can be the best mama and the best daddy. You can be the best citizen of all the world. But if the Spirit of God don't dwell in you, you're none of His. Amen, Brother Larry. That's right. Sometimes we just got to get a little movement. Amen. So there was the descending of the Holy Ghost, the testimony of Jesus. And there's going to be a testimony of yours. I remember that day when Jesus came into my heart. I remember the day when the Holy Ghost of God became the influencer. He became the controller of my life. I remember the day that individual there, he was a drunkard, he was a blasphemer, he was a curser, he was on porn, he liked drugs, he liked women, oh, he liked to steal and lie, oh, he liked to go about in the city, he liked to do all the things that nobody wants to do as a Christian, and now something happened to him, something is different about him. What did he do? I'll tell you what happened to him, the Holy Ghost of God dwells in him. That'll change you, amen. That'll make a difference in your life. Coming to church won't help you. But having the Holy Ghost of God will change you. You might come to church, but that don't mean you're going to heaven. Lord, when the Spirit of God dwells in your heart, you know you're going to heaven. Oh, God, help us today that our testimony is just like Jesus' was when the Spirit of God descended upon Him, that the Spirit of God dwells in my heart. You better not leave that this morning. You can say any kind of thing you want to say about yourself. You can say all kind of testimonies that you think that you are. But you better come to the place where the Bible says that the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if the Spirit of God don't dwell in you, then you're none of His. According to Romans chapter 8. Well, we find a second thing that I see in way of testimony. It's not only the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus, but I see the Spirit of God dwelling in us. But here, secondly, I want you to see concerning the Word of God declaring Him. Well, I like this here in verse chapter 1 here. Look at what it says in verse 11. The Bible says, "And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son." This is a testimony. This is a testimony from heaven. If you're going to walk as Christ walked, then you've got to have a testimony of the Spirit of God. You're going to have a testimony of the Word of God. You're going to have a testimony that heaven has declared, heaven has determined that you're a child of God. I love this verse here in 1 John chapter 3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Amen? They said, "There's absolutely nobody else could call me a child of God. I can't call you a child of God." Many of preachers do a lot of disjustice, and I've seen it over the years. I've been preaching for a little bit these days, and over the years I have seen that there's been many of people who come down to the altar and they pray a prayer, or they come some with persuasion, or maybe a mental emotion, or maybe something that would drive them to think that they want to be saved. But when you really get to talk to them and ask them, "Are you ready to turn from your sin? Are you ready to change your mind? Are you ready to turn from your idols? Are you ready to lay down your life?" Hey friend, they're not really ready to get saved yet. Oh, but when they come to that place and they say yes and yes and yes, and you receive Christ as your Savior, as Lord and Savior of your life, He begins to reign in your heart and you begin to call Him Lord and live as He's Lord. Oh friend, you'll find salvation. But I've seen many of preachers bring that individual up to the front, and he says to that individual, he says, "Now I want to tell you that you're saved." Now there's not a preacher on this side can tell you that you're saved. When you hear that, friend, you got trouble already brewing. You can't tell me that you can't even tell me your wife is saved, so don't go around telling people your wife is saved. Don't go around telling your children saved. Don't even go around telling your preacher saved. Amen? There's nobody in all the world today can tell you you're saved except God. And when God has a testimony of you from heaven, He says, "I have called you the Son of God." You can go to heaven on that. Amen? And so we find the testimony of Jesus is from the Spirit of God. The testimony of Jesus is from the Word of God. Declare. Can I say thirdly this morning that the testimony of Jesus and the testimony that you'll have, it's from the heart of God. We find it to say this morning. The Lord said, or the Father said in verse 11, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That's the heart of God right there. You'll find that what God is saying about His Son, He's saying, "I am well pleased." That God's heart is delighting in Him. Oh, the delight of God, the delight of the Father is amongst His Son. Where you find the heart of God, you'll find Jesus, amen. And all the mind of the Father is His dear darling Son this morning. And can I say to you, the heart of God for you would be this morning. John chapter 16, verse 27 says, "For the Father Himself loveth you, because you have loved Me and have believed that I have come from God." Psalms 149 says, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." Can I say here shortly this morning that the heart of God will bring a testimony that you're pleasure in His eyes, that you delight in His eyes, as He did with the Son of God, as He did with the Word of God, as He did with the Spirit of God. Do you have that testimony this morning? If you're going to walk as He walked, that's the testimony that you'll have. You say, "I don't have that, Brother Larry. Come get saved." In just a moment, we'll give you invitation. Just a moment, we're going to give you opportunity. Just in a moment, we're going to ask you to come and receive Christ. And as you receive Him, so walk ye in Him. You have that opportunity. It's your choice this morning. It's your decision this morning. Now you say, "Well, I'm just not ready." You're not ready for hell, or you're not ready for heaven? Which one you're not ready for? You better get ready. We learned this morning that what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth now and then it vanishes away. It's gone. Oh, can I say secondly this morning, I noticed that we're going to walk as Christ walked. We're going to have to walk as He did walk. And He was baptized and We find that he had a testimony, but then secondly, I notice he had a testing. He had a testing. Verse 12, the Bible says, "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness." Immediately. As soon as you decide that you're going to receive Christ, and as soon as you decide that you're going to follow Christ, and as soon as you decide that the testimony that you desire is the testimony that Christ had, is the very immediately of a time of testing. You'll find it every single time. Every Christian in this room can testify that, listen, I've been in test. I'm in test all the time. I'm being tested, amen? And we find that Jesus was tested. Immediately, the Bible says, he driveth. Who driveth him? The Spirit of God driveth him, amen? And so it was the Spirit of God that will lead you, amen, to a place of testing. It's not the devil trying to test you. It's the Spirit of God that's driving you to test. We got to get this clear this morning. Well, too many times we say, well, I'm in a test right now, that dirty, rotten devil. Hey, don't give him no credit. Don't give him no praise this morning. He's not worth it. He's a liar and the father of liars. He's old smutty face, amen? Hey, friend, he's a loser from the beginning. He's one who's been defeated and will be defeated and someday find himself in the lake of fire with the rest of them, amen? Listen this morning, if you are saved, are you going to find yourself coming immediately into testing? Immediately. And the Spirit will drive you there. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 that the Spirit led him there. Oh, so we find here now Jesus come from victory to war. Can you remember the day you got saved? Victory. Sins are forgiven. Guilt is gone. Peace in my heart. No longer am I an enemy of God. All things now have become calm. Now I got the assurance of heaven. I got the confidence I can pray and He'll hear me. Oh, I got the blessings of God upon me. Oh, listen, friend, I've got a life before me. That's going to be a pleasure to live. I tell you this morning, there's no other way to live than live to be a Christian. Amen. If I had to do it all over again, I would be a Christian again. Amen. The only difference I would do, I got saved at the age of 25. I'd get saved at the age of 5 months. 3 months. If I could get saved in my mother's womb, I'd have got saved in my mother's womb. Before I was even born, if I could get saved, I would have got saved. Living for Jesus is the ultimate life. You say, brother, has there been any troubles and trials in life? Oh yeah, there's been testing. And God has led the testing. He's put me in the testing. Just like He did Jesus, He'll put you in the testing. Don't complain about the testing. Don't argue with the testing. Listen, Jesus come from victory. I remember the day I got baptized, I come up out of that water. I don't know, it just seemed like I have now come to a place of rest. Next thing I know, I'm in a battle. I say to you, Jesus come from blessing to battle. He come from joy to fight. And every single person I ever known who ever got saved is the same way. I mean, you talk to them, they say, brother, I got victory in my life. The next thing you know, immediately they're in war. You say, hey, man, brother, I'm a blessed man. God saved my soul. The next thing you know, they're in a battle. You say, man, I got joy in my heart. I got peace in my heart. I got rest. My sins are all forgiven. God has cast them from the east to the west. He determines not to remember them anymore. But now, I'm in a fight. So we find that Jesus now is in a testing. In this test, we see that He's alone in the wilderness. I'm going to tell you something, friend. This is a testing will be for you as well. Now, if you want to walk as Christ walked, you're going to have to go through the test. It's good to be around God's people, and it's good to be around the people of God. Amen? I tell you, I have learned in my Christian walk, in my Christian life, to hang around people who know God. I don't go to people's houses that I don't know God unless I'm trying to win them to God. I don't go to ball games and I don't do things at lunch and go to dinners with people who are going to drink their margaritas, who are going to cuss and tell dirty jokes, and we're going to talk about things that are unnecessary and that are ungodly. I don't put myself in that position. I hang around those. I put myself in the position of those who know God and walking with God. I just chose that. Now, you do what you want. I'm going to tell you what happens when you become a Christian and you find yourself in the testing, just not at the church every day. Now, it's easy to live for God right here. Right here, it's really easy this morning. I mean, you come in here, you ain't got nobody going to make fun of you for saying amen. Now, you make my people might make fun of you by saying amen. Or you might make fun of yourself. I said amen. You know, get shy or get bashful for saying amen. It's okay to say amen. It's okay to say hallelujah. It's okay to raise your hand. It's okay. It's all right. You won't go to hell over it. And if because you do it, you won't go to heaven either, but you'll just bring some glory unto God. Amen. You'll crucify the flesh a little bit. Because the flesh don't want you to open your mouth about Jesus. He don't want you to raise your hand about Jesus. He don't want you to lift your foot about Christ. He don't want you to come to church at all. And when you get here, you already defeated Him. So praise God for it. Amen. In your face, devil, I hate you. Amen. He's been my arch enemy from the get-go. The bottom line is when you become a Christian, you find you're testing, you're going to have to leave the church sometime. In other words, I'm not saying leave the church completely, but you're going to come here this morning at Sunday school. If you don't come to Sunday school, bless your heart. I don't understand that. You're going to walk as Christ walked? Come to church, man, we come singing good, got a good group. The preaching needs a little help. If you got a better preacher, I could just imagine what the church could do. And then you get to go. You know what? You're going to find yourself alone today. That's when the test happens. And this week on Monday night, on Monday and Tuesday, in those days, you're not around the church people. You're not around the people who love God. You're not around the people who exalt Christ. You're not around the people who love the Bible. You're around the rank heathen pagans of the world. That's the testing coming. Just like Jesus was alone in the wilderness. Nobody else was there. And friend, that's exactly how you're going to walk as Christ walked. Whenever you're alone. When you're in the dark. When integrity and character is all about you. When nobody's watching. When nobody's seeing. When you're in your own home. When you're in your own place. When you're in another state. When you're in another country. When you're in another, when nobody knows you. And you live the way you live if everybody was there who knew you. The test. Nobody's around. Say something else that I noticed about Jesus here is he was in the wilderness when he was alone. But I noticed this morning that he was led in the wilderness. Jesus didn't get saved and said, I want to go in the wilderness. I want to go to a desert place. I want to go where nobody's at. No, no. When you get saved, you know what you want? You want fellowship. I mean, people tell me all the time when they get saved and born again, Brother Larry, preach longer. Preach harder. Preach with more passion. Come on down on my pew. Read my mail. Step on my feet. I mean, listen, get all over me. I need to hear from God. I need to be told. I need to be shown. I'm rebellious and I'm stubborn. And I need God to enter my life and my heart to teach and to guide me and to lead me, to help me along the way. And I'm telling you this morning that when Jesus went into the wilderness to be tested, He was tested by the Spirit of God. He led him that way. And you're in the will of God when you're in a test. Sometimes we figure, God, don't let me go through the test. Oh, but you ought to be saying, God, let me go through the test. Just give me the power and the strength to pass the test. Don't ask God not to let you go through the test. Ask God to give you strength in the test. To give me wisdom with that test. God, I know that test has tested me. He was hungry in the wilderness. And you'll find this morning that while you are in the wilderness, you'll never find any heavenly lack of provision. The Lord will always help you spiritually and heavenly and permanently. But it's those temporary. Amen? It's those things that are going to just last a little season. It's those things that are going to last just a little bit. And you'll find a test will be upon those. Hunger came upon Christ. I mean, He's fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. I think that you might be a little hungry as well. And so we find Him hungry. But then I noticed He was supported in the wilderness. I said a while ago He was alone. I was talking about nobody else with Him, nobody else around Him. But there was something about Him. Number one, the Spirit of God never left Him. He was there with Him in the test. The Bible says that there was a wild beast there in verse 13. Wild beasts around. You know why the wild beast was around Him? Because He was the Creator. Jesus is the Creator of the wild beast. And Jesus is now being tested. Jesus is now coming to the place of testing. And the wild beast was there. Isn't that strange that the Scripture would say the wild beast, not the domestic, not the domesticated beast, but the wild beast. No tame. The one who just clearly have the privilege of just being with the Savior, being with the Creator. Well, then He says those that were made a little lower than Him, which was the beast, they were there. But those that were made a little higher than Him, called the angels, they ministered to Him. He had it coming from the bottom. He had it coming from the top. He had it coming from within with the Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you're in the test, you're going to be surrounded too. You got the Holy Ghost of God praying for you, making intercession for you. Amen. You got Jesus making intercession for you. You got church people praying for you. You got a mom and daddy who knows God going to be praying for you. You got a friend, if you have a pastor, he'd be praying for you. Friend, when you're in the test today, you may be alone, but yet you're not really alone. Oh, I tell you, if you're going to walk like Christ walked, you're going to have to go through the test. And what was the test all about? Will He stand? You see, the test was in Adam and Eve back in Genesis, right? Guess what happened?
They failed.
Oh, the test was the children of Israel. What happened?
They failed.
Oh, Jesus, the Son of God, He comes now to be tested. Will He stand? Or will He stay? Will He sustain? Oh, will the Son of God be able to go forth and go through? Will He stay? Well, that was the question for the devil. As he's already betrayed the other ones, he's, old serpent has beguiled the rest. We find that old Abraham, he started out, he failed. We find old Noah came through the flood, and he failed. We find that David, after man's got on heart, he failed. We can go through all the Scripture today, showing that all that men have failed. But Jesus now, in His test, will He last? You know what the test is for you? Will you last? Will you stand? Will you stay? I've been saved a long time. Got saved at Parkwood Baptist Church in 1988. I don't know if you know that or not. October 30th, I may say. And I've seen a lot of people for that 7 years as I was associate pastor with Brother Mark Thrift. I've seen a ton of people come in and a ton of people go. I came here in 1996. 2018, we saw a lot of people come and a lot of people go. And this morning, I'm thinking, and you might be thinking as well, there was a test. Will they stand? Will they stay? Will they sustain? Many have fallen off. Many went back. Like a hog back to the mire and like a dog into its vomit. Many have just decided to go to a different religion, to a different place, to a different thought. Some stayed. Some stood. The test. After you get saved and you begin your Christian walk, you're going to find the test where you stay. Are you going to stay through this? What's going to knock you out? Some little word from some little guy, a gal inside the church. I've seen it all the time. Some little girl, some little guy, they'll knock you out. Well, they said that. I even seen it when a look. I mean, just a look got somebody out of church. Ah, dear God. It's going to take more than a look to get me out of church. I'm going to promise you that. Oh, I've seen it to such a small deal as the color of the pews, or the color of the church, or the color of the carpet, or the weather, what they want on the texture of the wall. They want different texture. What will it take to knock you out? See, this is real. This is real life. And friend, you'll find that if you're going to walk as Christ walked, you're going to have to go through the test. This is God's plan, this is God's purpose, and this is God's proving. He's done it throughout the Scripture. He approved you as well. Amen? Can I say here thirdly? I want you to notice not only the testimony that Jesus had, and you will too, and the testing that Jesus went through, and you will also, but I want you to notice the temptation. The Bible says that Satan, or was tempted of Satan. We find a detail in that here in the Scripture. As we look there, it's the Spirit of God is continuously with Jesus. The Spirit of God never left Jesus. He had descended upon Christ. He led Him and driveth Him into the wilderness. And while He was in the temptation of the devil, the Bible says the Spirit of God has led Him there. That word led there, it means to guide and to brought and to take up. And it also means to control. For example, we can talk about Job this morning. We go to chapter 1 of Job, if you remember the story, and as the Satan was up there in conversation with God, and Satan said, there's nobody in all the world down there, God, that won't turn from you, or that won't stop living for you. He said, oh yeah, there's one. Have you considered my servant Job? You know the story. He said, well, how about him? He said, well, you can do anything you want to, but just don't touch him. All of a sudden, he loses everything he has. Chapter 2, Satan comes back to the devil and says, hey, God. He said, man, you protected him. You got a hedge about him. He said, if you let that go, he'll turn from you. And this is what God said to Satan. He said, you can do anything you want to, but take his life. Next thing you know, Job's on heat pile, right? Taking that potsherd and scraping those boils. You know who was in control the whole time? God was. You know who was in control the whole time in the temptation? God was. And so we find the control. The Spirit of God led him. And I'm going to tell you something else in your life, friend, in that test. Either God will give you grace to go through it, or God will remove it from you. Amen? He'll never give you more than you can take. He'll give you grace. He's always in charge. He's always in control. That's the first thing I know about this temptation. So when you're in temptation, you'll find. Secondly, I want you to notice the enemy, God, constantly is at Jesus. We find here, turn to Matthew chapter 4. It goes into great detail concerning these thoughts this morning. I'm going to say three things and I'll close. The enemy of God constantly at Him. You know what Satan was trying to do with Jesus? Trying to cause Him to sin. Because if Jesus would have sinned, He wouldn't be Savior. He wouldn't be Redeemer. He wouldn't be God. He was putting pressure on Him to sin. And that's what He's doing with you this morning. When you leave out of here, you're going to find the devil putting pressure on you, bringing you places in life where he's making you or wanting you to try to get you to the place of sin. He don't want anything from you. He just don't want you to have a relationship with God. Listen, he's not really interested to be friends with you. He just don't want you to be a friend of God. He's not interested really taking anything from you. He just don't want you to give nothing to God. He's not interested this morning in order to help you and to guide you and to lead you. Oh, but He's just not interested in you being led and guided by God. And sin will separate you and God. And so it's real simple this morning. All the devil's trying to do with Jesus is what he's trying to do with you in the way of temptation is to bring you to the place of sin. Because if he gets you to sin, he's got you. That's why sin is so awful. That's why sin this morning in the heart of a child of God ought to be horrible. That's why sin this morning ought to be something in your life that you hate. Jesus said He loved righteousness and hated iniquity. That's why I understand the church don't hate sin like it ought to. People don't hate sin like they should. Be angry and sin not, the Bible says. And we ought to be angry for people killing babies. We'll be angry with the people changing what marriage is between a man and a woman. We'll be angry this morning about children being raped and molested. We'll be angry this morning that our churches, amen, are being infiltrated by Calvinism. We'll be angry about some things. No, man, we just skip along on the tulips. We're playing in the street. We're eating our hamburgers and hot dogs and drinking our sweet tea. Going to our movie theaters, cinemas, watching Netflix while the world's dying, going to hell. We're going to work, making our millions, paying our bills, and putting our money in bags that have holes. Hardly nobody's happy no longer. Marriages seem to be on the rocks. Children on the verge of rebellion. Churches on the verge of closing. People are about to come to a place of losing their mind and going back to their alcohol and go back to their drugs. And there's so many prescription drugs amongst not only people, but amongst God's people today. There's so much going on in the way of psychology and psychiatry today that everybody has to go and get some kind of therapy. And yet, the Bible says that Jesus is the counselor. Oh, God, help us this morning. We find that Jesus comes to a place and now Satan is there. He attacks him in three ways. He attacks him physically, spiritually, and psychologically or mentally. We find, number one, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Says, and when Jesus, of Matthew here, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Can I say, the first thing that the devil will do, the enemy will do, constantly will be at you. He'll come to you and attack the weakest point. The weakest point. You say, I'm strong here, I'm strong there. I like those guys who don't smoke cigarettes. Because they never talk about anything but not smoking cigarettes. If you don't smoke cigarettes, boy, you can really hammer them. Yeah, if you smoke cigarettes, you're a heathen! But that same guy who don't smoke cigarettes drinks wine. He don't say anything about wine bibbers. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, that guy there, he looks at pornography. Woo! That guy's a wicked sinner. He's a heathen going straight to hell. But you cuss like a sailor. But you don't ever say nothing about cussing. But you can talk about pornography. God, help us today. Help us today, Lord, to know where we are and what we're doing. Sometimes I feel like the church is out of control. Like the church is just here, there, and yonder. There's no more unity, no more harmony. There's no more one accord and one mind. There's no more one purpose and one reason. Everybody's going everywhere. And the church just seems to be floating along. And the devil is the one who's attacking us at our weakest point. Number two. He addresses us at our strongest desire. Strongest desire. Jesus was hungered, and so what did He say? Well, just turn those stones into bread. Make it real simple there. The Son of God, He made that very clear. If thou be the Son of God, Then won't you just turn those stones into bread and get you something to eat? The devil's real quick about that this morning to you and I, that whenever he finds our weakest point, he'll attack it. But then he began to address our strongest desire. I was told that. I don't know. I don't want to jump on cigarette smokers this morning. If you smoke a cigarette, you're just a sucker. But I heard a couple of guys tell me, I've never smoked a cigarette before, so I don't know. They told me that when they got saved and they stopped smoking cigarettes, that it was one of the hardest things in their lives to stop doing. Anybody know that's true? Yeah. Amen. So I guess it must be true. Two or three establishes a matter, the Bible said. So what will the devil do? He'll address that strongest desire. You say, oh yeah? Yeah, you know how it tasted. You know how it was. You remember when you sucked in? Oh, you know how that felt? I mean, there was just like a rush of nicotine filling every void in your life. And when you went, and you made them circles. Now, you know, you was pretty cool. You know what I mean? You're driving down the road. I never smoked before, but I'm just saying what I seen. Pretty cool. Like those guys who dip that snuff. They go, bless God, I don't smoke it. Yeah, but I dip it. Brother Mark Chris said one time down in Carthage, Texas, where he pastored his first church, he said there were such dippers down there, they on both sides of their mouth, they had it running down. He said, I called them level-headed Baptists. Yeah. Oh, can I say this morning? That desire. You remember how that looked like when you got that can in your back of your pocket? Got your cowboy boots on? You're walking down, you got that can on the back. Yeah, it's a skull, man. And you pull out that pack of that tobacco, and you got tobacco here and dunk here. Phew, you're one tough guy about there. Huh? You pull out that old pack. Got that old pull out pack and you say. The devil will bring you those desires back. Yeah. He aligns the easy way. Because see, the Son of God, He could have turned those stones into bread. But that wasn't the easy way. See, the easy way is you can go to that store and buy you a wine cooler. And you can go by there and get you a little dip. And you can go over here and smoke your little camel. And you can go to the internet and look at your little porn. And you can go to the little bear joint. Do a little Cotton Eye Joe. You can do all that. That's not the easy way. That's the hard way. Especially with God. See, the devil, he come to Jesus, he was trying to make him to sin. And here was the sin. The sin was he was hungry. But God would feed Jesus when it's a time to get fed. And Jesus had to trust in God. He didn't need no stones turning to bread. After 40 days and 40 nights, his heavenly Father provided him the bread that he needed. See, the easy way is to go do your thing. And that wins with the devil. The hardest thing is to just trust God. Amen. And lean on Him. Oh, can I say here, not only does He attack the weakest point, does He address the strongest desire, He aligns with the easy way, but He adds to the smallest thought. There's the smallest thought. Just turn it to bread, Jesus. Who's going to know? Who even cares? Who is going to be bothered with you taking a stone and turning it into bread? Who, Jesus? Who in all the world would know it? Who would even care that you do it? Come on, Jesus, let's get it together here. I know you're hungry, and I'm telling you, if you're the Son of God, turn that stone into bread. Do it right now. What's the matter with you? The devil tempts you just like that. Nobody will know. And nobody cares. What you do in your house is what you do in your house. Listen, I tell you, go to the furthest from the door. In the crevices of your corner of your closet. Get behind your dresses and your behind your pants and get over the corner where you got your shotgun. And do your thing. Nobody will know, nobody will care. That's the winning of the devil. And that's what he did to Jesus. Well, I'll tell you tonight, or this morning, the last thing I noticed, I'm not going to be able to go any further, is that this is the devil's thought, this is the devil's suggestion, and this is the devil's choice. And in closing here this morning, come back tonight and we'll finish it up. But any time that you take the suggestion of the devil, you're already on the devil's side. Amen? I didn't even get to what Jesus responded to, but He responded to that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of his mouth. And friend, if you live any other way than every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, then you're in the suggestion of the devil. So either you're going to do it God's way, or you're going to do it the devil's way. And when he suggests to you that it's not all about just the word of God, what comes out of the mouth of God, then you already have, red flags. Say, time out. Time out. The devil's suggestion that I do something that's not Bible. That's not Scripture. No. You know, a lot of people come talk to me, and the first thing I ask them, are you reading your Bible? You know many of what people say? No. Then why are you in here? If you can't read your Bible, and you can't get with God, and you can't have time with the Lord, and you can't listen to what proceedeth out of His mouth, and you can't take time to get on your knees and cry out to a holy God, and you can't take time to get in His Bible and get in His Word and let Him feed your soul, then why are you at the preacher? Why are you at the counselor? Why are you anywhere? You should be in your closet somewhere, calling on that one who can help you and guide you. Man, don't let the devil cause you to go in the way of suggestion. Amen? Stand to your feet, heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're going to walk like Christ, or walk as Christ this morning, you're going to have to walk as He walked. If you've been saved and born again and never been baptized this morning, won't you come? I've been baptized, I'm saved, I'm in the testing right now. God's proven me. Won't you come ask God for help this morning to get through that? You say, I'm in the way of temptations this morning. The devil has suggested some things in my life that I should do. I know they're not right things to do, but boy, I sure am tempted. I am tempted to do it. I need some help, my pastor. My brother, won't you come? I'll pray with you. You sing, Brother George. If anybody needs to come, you come this morning. Do you need to be saved? Do you remember the day you got born again? You remember the day Jesus entered into your life? You remember that day when Christ became Lord and Savior? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You remember that day? Is He still the reigning force in your life? When's the last time you bragged on Him? It's the last time you prayed to the Father, lifting up the Son. It was the last time you had a conversation with the devil. It was the last time you considered what the demon had to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being here, my friend.